And I want to live in the, and be discipled not only by our teachings, but also by our lifestyles. So just like you copy out of one document, put it into another, that's what Jesus, he showed us the way so we can live, and then we show others the way. And we've been looking in the book of Acts where they appointed the first deacons, and they talk about their qualities. We've been working through those. Acts 6 verse 3 says this: "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom will you will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte, a proselyte of Antioch. And today we're going to look at this beautiful, there's a statement in there that's got to capture our attention. It says that all these guys were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing when we look at the person of the Holy Spirit. We know he's the third person of the Godhead. We know that when we are born again, it's by the third person of the Godhead. It's by the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in our lives. He takes up residence in our lives. And there's beautiful pictures of us being both individually temples, places of the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the body corporate also as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We worship him together. And we have new life by the Holy Spirit. And we receive him when we are born again. But it's noted here that these men, they stood out because they were full of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that beautiful? Not only that we can be receptacles of God himself in the Holy Spirit, but also that we can be filled to overflowing. That we can have such an expression of God living within us and flowing out of us that others can see what he is like. And that's something we want to put our meditation on. We're going to meditate this morning on a few scriptures. Remind ourselves of them and then dwell on them so that they can activate something in our hearts. So let's trust that the Holy Spirit will activate something in our hearts so that we can live this out in application in order to be able to touch the world in the way God wants us to. Before the church began her mission, Jesus said something very clear. He said, this is not going to be by human power. This has got to be empowered by the person of the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures we know so well, Luke 24:48, it says, "You are my witnesses to these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high." Acts 1 verse 4, we see again what he was talking about there. "And while staying with them, he ordered them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not too many days from here." And we see there, he was talking about the church being empowered. And on the day of Pentecost, we know the scripture well. The Holy Spirit was poured out. There were tongues of fire that leapt from person to person. They spoke in languages they had never learned. And they were empowered with a boldness and an anointing for healing and for miracles and signs and wonders. And the church went out in that power. And then we find all through scripture the exhortation to keep being filled. And we want to walk in that. We can see that Philip did that. He was in Acts chapter 8 verse 4, it says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And there was much joy in that city." And we see here that Philip was a living example. The Bible said he was filled with the Spirit. And here we see that manifestation of that power, deliverances, healings, the power of God working through that man because he was so full of the Holy Spirit. And there's got to be something in our hearts that say, "God, I want to see more of that. We want to see more of that." And we recognize it's not based on our own ability, but it's based on the power of the Holy Spirit. So what we need to do is go on a personal journey to say, "Lord, how can we tap in more to the power of your Holy Spirit? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? And we've recently done a sermon looking at the power and the gifts. So we're going to look at a different aspect today. But let us always be hungry to just be seeing God's Spirit work in power through us. And asking God to increase our faith for the manifestation of those things. Today we're going to look at a bit of another of an aspect of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And John 16 verse 12 says this, I still have many things, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak not of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is describing something more of what the Bible talks about when it talks about being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, being in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's this vessels of clay in relationship and partnership with the infinite power and glory of God. And it's through the Holy Spirit that links our weakness and our clayness to God's glorious, the treasures that exist within God. And the Holy Spirit is the believer's guide. Jesus said here, this stuff that even you can't understand, you're not going to understand this until after the cross and the resurrection. But there's a whole lot more stuff that goes on between me and the Father. And the Holy Spirit's going to be your guide. And he's going to reveal to you all truth. What an incredible promise. And Jesus said there's going to be this ongoing revelation, the deepening revelation of all that is with God, all that God says, all the authority of God is going to be revealed to you through your own personal guide. No wonder we're going to go, oh, we want to be filled. We want to be filled with him. And it's interesting that I heard an observation once that said that humans, we're not comfortable in time, and we're not comfortable constrained by the physical realm. And if you think about it, we're always a little bit, we either have got too much time and we're bored, or we haven't got enough time and we're rushed. And the other thing is, we're also never satisfied. We might get the latest cell phone, or we might get the latest car, we get this thing, and we can't wait to get it, and we get it, and a little while later, it's kind of lost its edge. We need the next program, or the next app, or the next phone, because those things don't satisfy us. What the guy was saying is, he said, we weren't meant to be in time. That's why we don't. We were meant to live in eternity. That's why we're kind of uncomfortable. We have problems with time. And we weren't meant to be satisfied by the temporary things of this world. We can only be satisfied by being in an eternal relationship with a God who is bottomless and endless and limitless in his beauty. And as we get to know God, we will never grow tired of him. We'll never grow bored. We'll never go, oh, is that it? It's lost all its sparkle. All its novelty has gone away. God is just this infinite, endless beauty that we will spend all of eternity just getting deeper and deeper and deeper into his majesty and his marvelous glory and the beauty of his person. And just understand revelation and truth. And that's what we call to. But the beautiful thing is, before we see God face to face, that's probably going to be an eternal journey of discovery. But while we are here on the earth, the Holy Spirit is the agent who reveals to us more and more and more and more of the truth of God, the truth about God, the truth about ourselves, and any truth that we might need for application in this world. And it's so wonderful to just know that we will be taken into that by the Holy Spirit. He glorifies Christ by showing us all that Christ is. Showing us all the beauty of God. He will glorify God. He shows us the future. That the best is yet to come. That there's glory unimaginable waiting for us. Both in God's unfolding plan here on earth, but also on into eternity as we enjoy God in an eternal relationship. And it's a remarkable statement that it says, everything that the Father has, he has given to Jesus. And then it says that the Holy Spirit will take of Jesus' possessions and give them to us. Don't just hear that as a passage quoted in a sermon. Take that home and think about that. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will take everything. I own everything the Father has. And the Holy Spirit will take. He will take that and he will give it to you. That's kind of like mind-blowing promise. It's like the Holy Spirit is the presiding lawyer over the reading of the will. Jesus died for us and we have become his inheritors. And the Holy Spirit reads the will. And I give you this. And he gives you this. And Jesus has this. And this is for you. And this is for you. And this is for you. And you're like, is it ever going to end? But there's just this constant, beautiful revelation of all that the Father has. He's given to the Son. And the Holy Spirit takes what it is the Son's and gives it to us. It's almost like he's the bank teller who draws from our joint account with Jesus. And he provides us with that blessing. And what's more, there's more. There's another passage that just speaks so beautifully about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor has the heart of man imagined what God prepares for those who God has prepared for those who love him. Just that in itself is a mind-blowing meditation. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The thoughts of God. Isn't that amazing? This is what it's talking about. The very inward thoughts of God. But it goes on to say, now we have received not a spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Come on. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So here's this beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit goes into the very thoughts of God, and he imparts them to us. And then there's actually a third step here, where we actually are able to go and teach them to others. God gives us his very thoughts, his very wisdom, his ways of salvation, his ways of living. And we're able to go as we disciple people, and give them to others. It's like a hotline to the very heart of God that this passage is talking about. We cannot imagine these things with our natural minds. There's no possible way we can perceive or understand these things. It says there's no eye, there's no heart. The most crazy imagination, even an imagination on LSD, could not imagine the glory and the beauty and the wonder of these things. But the Holy Spirit goes, he knows the very thoughts of God, and he promises to reveal them to us, to unfold all the depths of God to believers. The message puts it like this: but you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. In a great sense, this is the beautiful message of salvation. That's just the beginning of all the revelation of what God has for us. And what an incredible agent the Holy Spirit is. That he plumbs the vastness of God's greatness and he reveals it to us. J.B. Phillips says this, for nothing is hidden from the Spirit, not even the deep wisdom of God. For who could really understand a man's innermost thoughts except the Spirit of a man himself? How much less could anyone understand the thoughts of God except the very Spirit of God? And the marvelous thing is this, that we now receive not a spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God himself, so that we can actually understand something of God's generosity towards us. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus said the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, he said he's going to be your guide into amazing resources of wisdom and wonder and glory. We talk about the internet. It's pretty incredible. In your pocket there, you have access through AI or whatever it is. You have access to this incredible incredible vast amounts of knowledge and information. But how much more, with the Holy Spirit as our guide, are we able to tap into the incredible, endless wisdom of God? What a partnership, what a fellowship, what a beautiful thing that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit in this way. It says in Psalm 40 verse 5, "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than can be told." Can you see again in this passage? It's talking the thoughts of God about us. Guys, you might be in hard times. You might feel quite lonely and you might feel a bit abandoned. This is what the scripture tells us. The God of heaven is thinking about you. The God of heaven is thinking incredible thoughts. Dreams for your life, dreams for your liberty, dreams for us each coming into our fullness. And then the psalmist says, "There are more than can be told." There's more there. There's more in store than any human mind or imagination could dream. The Holy Spirit is there revealing it to us. It says in the NIV, "The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare." How beautiful is that? God's favor towards us. The Holy Spirit reveals what God carries in his heart for us. I want to hear that. There's enough discouragement. There's enough put downs. There's enough circumstances to knock us off course. I want an ear that's attuned to what the Holy Spirit whispers to me. That God is thinking. That God is planning. That God is saying. That's what I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit for. And then not only that, not only for ourselves, the Holy Spirit also teaches us what is in the heart of God towards others. He wants us to be a mouthpiece for God's whisperings, for God's dreams and purposes, even for the rebellious, even for those who are still far off, because God loves them. And his heart is longing for their redemption. And let's look in Matthew 10 verse 18. It says, "On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be, you will not be speaking. It will not be, you will not be speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Isn't that incredible? This is a difficult environment. This is under persecution. You've been arrested. You've been brought before kings. Not in a, "Hey, I want to hear your message," but in a challenging environment. And the Bible says you will be given words. It won't be you speaking. It'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. You'll be just the microphone for the Holy Spirit. You'll just be the channel for the Holy Spirit. What an incredible promise. And we see there, when we saw Philip, he went to Samaria. The Bible says they listened to him with one accord. That was a pagan crowd. And the Holy Spirit was so upon him that everybody was riveted to that message. That's the power of the Holy Spirit's anointing in our lives. And we need to say, "God, I want to tap into that." I'm sure we can all think of those times when we are talking to someone and they ask a tricky question, and the Holy Spirit gives you an answer. And you answer a question and you go, "Oh, I just learned something." That had to be from the Holy Spirit, because I didn't realize it. I didn't know that until the Lord gave me that answer. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit in difficult circumstances. We need to stop and go, "Oh, I'm not going to necessarily rely on my knowledge of apologetics or rely on my own stuff, but just Holy Spirit, how do I answer this one? How do I answer this in a way that will get past the defenses?" And we need to learn these things. The Holy Spirit gives us answers in those difficult situations. Let's see, we see this playing out in Philip's, when we read on in Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down to from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you were reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep that is led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. And Philip and the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. And Philip found himself in Azotus, and he preached the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is like an amazing passage here. What an amazing adventure. Firstly, there's an angel, and it seems like in the book of Acts in the early days, there was a lot of God speaking through angels. But the angel says, go to the wilderness. Go out into the desert there. And Philip, he goes, no, Lord, I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm going to the cities. There's nobody out there. But God's like, no, I've got a plan. There's a guy going back to Ethiopia. I want him to carry the gospel back to Africa. So go out into the wilderness. Okay, God, Philip obeys. And then he sees this guy, and the Holy Spirit says, go out there. And he goes on saying, he hears. And what a setup! He's reading a prophecy about Jesus. And Philip goes up to him, and Philip comes. It couldn't be a better setup for a witnessing opportunity. And the Holy Spirit is able to do this. When I was reading this, it reminded me of one time we were going door to door in South Africa, and there was this old man, and I said, can we chat to you? And he said, no, but first, I want you to explain a dream to me that I had. And I said, oh, okay, what did you dream? And he said, well, I dreamt, I came to this bridge. There was a narrow bridge over a river or a chasm, and there was a lamb standing at the entrance of the bridge. And the lamb allowed me onto the bridge. And when I crossed over the bridge, there was a tap of fresh, cold water that I was able to drink from. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. I said to him, that's what I've come to tell you about. The only way across the bridge back to God is through the sacrificed lamb. And the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ. And when you get there, you're given eternal life. You're given the water that will quench your thirst. Showed him some scriptures. He said, I'm down. I want to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit had set the whole thing up by giving him the dream. And guys, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what, when we're attentive, he might send us out into the most unimaginable place. But he sends us out there, and we need to listen. Run alongside. And Philip's like, he's running alongside. And he hears this, and then the guy says, come up. And then it's so beautiful. The Bible says, Philip opened his mouth. And what happened? The Holy Spirit gave him just the insight. I don't know if he'd had much teaching on that passage in Isaiah, whether it was right there that the Holy Spirit unfolded it to him, or if he'd heard the apostles teaching about it. But he just unpacks it. And he starts with it, and he tells him about Jesus. And then the guy says, that's it, I want to get baptized. And they go down into the water. Just to think about, they didn't go, have you got your water bottle here so we can sprinkle you? He says, there's water there. let's go down into the water. They went down into the water and they were baptized. He was baptized and they came up out of the water. And then something crazy happens. The Bible says the Spirit carried Philip away. Now, you could interpret that the Spirit sort of led him away, but the word used there is harpazo. It's the same thing that says we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Philip was caught up, and then it says he found himself in Azotus. And it seems like there was actually a supernatural transportation. Pretty crazy stuff, but when you're filled with the third person of the Godhead, and you're working in cooperation with him, miraculous stuff can happen. What an adventure to go on. Let's let our hearts hunger for more of this. Guys, because if we read it in scripture, it's there as a precedent for us to live in. But what we need to do is just let our hearts be responsive. And that's really as we land, as we close. Firstly, we need to be aware what is available to us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God saying, I'll be in fellowship with you. I'll walk with you and I'll talk with you. I'll guide you. I'll open up all that treasure to you. We need to be aware that that's available to us. And then secondly, we need to be attentive. We need to be willingly yielded, receptive to this world, which is a bit scary. It's beyond our senses, our natural senses. It's a world that we're not familiar with. But the Holy Spirit calls us into that, and we need to be willing. Lord, take me in there. Show me that. Even though I'm out of my depth, even though it might be a bit scary. And this morning as I was holding Malachi, I just felt like the Lord speak to me. If you've been a parent, you know what it's like to pick up a child who wants to be picked up. There's kind of like a combined energy, and they kind of slip into your arms. As opposed to being picked up when you're trying to pick up a child who's having a tantrum and they don't want to be picked up. And they're like, I don't know if you've noticed that. There's no cooperation. It's almost like they add to gravity. They do a whole, I'm not getting picked up, and they feel doubly heavy, and it's almost like they I felt like the Lord said, Bruce, I want you to be, you've got to cooperate with me. God wants to pick us up. This is it's kind of a passive thing. The power is with God. Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a passive thing. We are just filled. But it takes us going, yes, God, take me up, carry me away. And not, oh, I'm not so sure about this, God. And that's really what God, we want God to, we want to go, God, this is a partnership. And you're the senior partner, and you're the one with all the power. But I want to grab onto that. And even if you didn't grab me, I'm grabbing. Because I want in on this blessing. And then, really, the scripture instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. And I feel like a key to that is just to ask God to keep filling us. And there's a beautiful passage in Luke 9, 11 verse 9. It says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. All those incredible treasures in that the Holy Spirit will reveal. For anyone who receives... For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. What father among you, if the son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that beautiful? All we need to do is ask. Lord, I want more of your Spirit. I want to be more filled. I am a receptacle. It can be said of Philip and Stephen, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to go, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit more and more every day. And then thirdly, we just need to listen. We need to be attentive. We need to fall in step with the Holy Spirit and in faith obey. What an exciting prospect of this partnership, this fellowship between us and the Holy Spirit as we fulfill God's mission on the earth. And I want to finish with another beautiful picture of being filled, about having the right orientation towards the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's just a little video of a spinnaker, the sailors opening up a spinnaker to catch the power of the wind. So we'll just watch that. Pity that the video didn't go on with a yacht zooming along, but when a spinnaker gets raised, it brings that incredible force of the wind to drive that yacht along. And what a beautiful dynamic picture of being filled. But those sailors, they had to orientate the yacht to the direction of the wind, and then let out the fullness of that spinnaker to catch the maximum effect. And when you have a power boat, you can pretty much go in any direction. When you are wanting to catch the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to orientate ourselves to what He's doing. It can't be like, no, we're going in the other direction. It can't be like, no. We need to go, yes, Lord, we're with you, we're on board. And position ourselves, orientate ourselves, and then let out the sail to catch the full force, to be carried along by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by power, the Old Testament says, not by might, but by my Holy Spirit. And may we be a people who so orientate ourselves so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want us to bow our heads, and before we worship, before we close off, I just felt like today God wants an activation from us. So before I pray, I just want to pray just for more of God's filling. If you are, yes, God, I want more of your Spirit, won't you just show it by standing? Stand together with me just to say, don't stand if you don't want to, but if you just say, God, I just want to ask you for more of your Spirit. Let's stand together right now. Just so God can see that eagerness in our hearts. Lord, we're standing here before you, just under the authority of your word, Lord. We've looked at some passages. They are full of promise. They're full of promise of revelation. They're full of promise of anointing and power. God, we want to see your name glorified in these days, Lord. We want to hear your voice to our hearts, and we want to hear your voice that we can speak your words to a lost world. And I just thank you today, Lord God, for the hunger in hearts for more of your Spirit, Lord. And as we stand before you, Lord, we ask you, Lord, fill us with more of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill our sails, Lord. Capture our imaginations, capture our focus, capture our attention, Lord. We give it to you. And lead us deeper, Lord. Give us faith, Lord God. Help us to leave behind the fear. And even right now, Lord, activate something in our hearts, Lord. Even right now, we pray, give us more of your gifts, more of your Spirit. More open ears, more clear spiritual vision. We want to be used by you, God. Thank you that you live within us, Holy Spirit. We just pray that you will well up, Lord, that you will fill us, Lord. However that happens, Lord, just let us be filled to overflowing, powered by you, guided by you. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your promise. We lay hold of them now in faith as we worship you.